appreciate that so very much. I want you to look with me in your Bibles, if you have one, to the 121st Psalm. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blind Fanny Crosby wrote that. And what she had a tremendous joy in the Lord, even in the midst of an infirmity. She could see more than without her eyes the things of the Lord than what most people can see with their eyes. So I appreciate that song always. And so, amen. Psalm 121. It's just 8 verses. In your Bible, you may have the superscription above the psalm there that says a song of degrees. As worshipers would make their way to Jerusalem to participate in the annual feast, such as the Passover or Pentecost or the Feast of the Tabernacles, this was a pilgrim song that they would sing on their journey. And we read in verse number 1, as Scott read just a few moments ago, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever. Who's going to help me? It's a question that we ask from time to time. Sometimes we may just make a request for someone to help me. Anyone help me. The scripture tells us, though, in these first two verses, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Who's going to help me? Who's going to help you? We find our answer in Scripture this morning. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, coming to your throne, that you might hear our petitions, that you might answer the requests as they are given. God, may we come to a place in our lives that we recognize solely and fully that there is no help outside of you. You will often use the prompting of your Holy Spirit to tell others that would roam and walk upon this earth that someone needs help. But Father, may we recognize, may we ponder upon your hand moving and guiding, even within that help. May you prompt today. May we respond. May we receive your help. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a story about a man who needed to get across a lake. It was a large lake, and to go around would have taken too much time, too much effort, for it was cold, the lake was frozen, and so the man got down on his hands and knees by the edge of the lake and began to tap on the ice to make sure that it would hold him. wanted to be on solid ice. Then he carefully scooted on his hands and his knees, a little bit at a time, and tapped some more. And then he'd scoot, and then he would, making sure every few feet that it was strong enough to hold it. A couple of hours went by. His body beginning to get colder and colder and colder. His hands, his feet, his face exposed to the elements. And as he was almost to the other side, he began to hear a noise, a rumble behind him. As he stopped and sat up from his hands and turned on his knees to hear what the rumble was, fright began to fill his face. So much so that he began to sweat a little bit, even in the frozen temperatures that he was in, for the sight that he saw. I'm going to finish that story at the end of the sermon, so stick around. I want you to notice in this Psalm 121 that a scripture says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so as I ask you this, I want you to, as we try to answer this question of who's going to help me and who is going to help you, I want you to notice that in the very beginning of this psalm, I want you to see the source of your help. The source of it. Where is that help coming from? Well, the Bible declares to us, of course, that the help is coming from unto the hills. As he lifts up his eyes from the valley and he sees the hills, not just the hills, but beyond the hills, is what this psalmist is looking at. And as they look at this, he says, my help cometh from the Lord. I want you to notice in this passage, while we see in verse number 2, the Lord. I want you to see in verse number 5, the Lord. In verse number 7, the Lord. In verse number 8, once again, we find the Lord. You want to know where the source of your help is this morning? I tell you and I submit to you that it is very simply the Lord. Our help is not coming from any other sources of idolatry. It's not coming from any idols that we might have. May I even tell you, it's not even coming from the government. You see, we have this hope that somebody at some time is going to come alongside of us to help us, to give us a leg up, or to give us a remedy, to give us a chance to have a change for better. And man, we certainly need help today, don't we? We most certainly need help in all of these things. Five times this psalmist identifies again the person and the source of this help as none other than the Lord. This is the covenant name for God that identifies him as the self-existent, the eternal, unchanging God who is over all. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. He says again, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You see, all things in this life exist because of God. He controls all and is in all. This identifies him as the one who keeps the promises. You see, God has given us a promise today, and yes, we are here, and yes, we need a help, and we need, and I tell you, first of all, we need a help in salvation. For you and I cannot do this on our own. We can't be good enough, and you can't be necessarily bad enough either, but that we are all sinners. We are all in the same place, in the same time that we're here, that we see that we have the need of a Savior. We must recognize that if we're going to get help this morning, we need to recognize the source of the help moving right along. That's the first point. The second point, I want you to notice as this psalm describes to us the scope of the help. What is it that God is helping us in? He's helping us in something. Check this out. He says he will not suffer thy foot to be moved in verse number 3. He says he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. What is the help, the scope of help that the Lord provides? Well, the first thing is he helps us in slipping, or not slipping, I should say. Notice, he says he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. You see, we're on the path, we're on a journey of life. And as we take this path, and as we take this journey, the Bible describes to us on this path, on this journey, just like any other journey that we would take, is it takes one step in front of the other. One step in front of another. If you've ever been on a tight trail or anything like that, it is possible from time to time that you can take a stumble and that you may fall. Now, I know this may seem funny to you. We were going to eat. This has been several months ago. But years ago, I had an injury to my right ankle. And I was in high school. I sprained my ankle. I sprained it pretty badly. And I did not listen to the doctor's orders. It was one of those, ice it, elevate it, and also stay off of it. Now, as a 13, 14-year-old boy, and maybe a little older than that, maybe 15, I decided that I knew more than the doctor. Anybody ever decide that before besides me? Somebody make me feel good. Good. And so I decided, a buddy of mine, his name's Steven, he's like, hey, man, let's go play some basketball. Sure. I wrapped my ankle up and, hobbling around and, playing basketball on a sprained ankle. And played, several times, did several things. Eventually hurt it again, and then again, and again. I probably sprained my ankle, probably two dozen times over the last 20, 25 years. But there's something about my ankle, it's not what it was, because I never let it properly heal. Now, it is possible for me, and I did this not too long ago, if I go out, and I step on something, it can be the smallest of something, I can roll that ankle out, and man, it hurts, but I can get back up and keep walking. Not too long ago, we were at a restaurant, and I was meeting some folks there, and I got out of the car, and I was running a little late, and I stepped on a rock. It was just a little bitty rock. And in the middle of the parking lot, the people are standing at the door, they're watching me walk. And all of the sudden, I step on that rock, my ankle rolls out, and down I go. Now, they're watching me. You talk about embarrassing. It's one thing for people that don't know you to see that, but it's another thing for people that do know you, they're watching you, and you go down, and then you pop right back up. And there's not really anything of significance there. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was a big old tree or, something, but no, just a tiny little pebble that for most people would be no problem. I will tell you, I have a fear and a phobia. Every time I come down these stairs, I think in my head, maybe not every time, but I have this thought that one day I'm going to roll my ankle in front of you. Oh, it'd be so fun. Some of you would be worried. Some of you would laugh. And all of these things. But notice when we're talking about something spiritual here. Now that's physical. It happens. People fall, people slip, people hurt themselves. But spiritually speaking, we do the exact same thing. And sometimes it's even the smallest little thing that wouldn't trip up most people. But for us, we stumble, we fall, we slip. Now, the typical thing, though, when somebody stumbles, when somebody falls, when somebody trips, and we're near them, I would like to think that if I fell right here today, that Kevin would jump up and say, Pastor, let me help you. Now, it might take Terry too, but to help me, but we would say, oh, let me help you, and then we would all laugh, of course, after, oh, he's fine, wonderful. But spiritually, we don't typically laugh at that stuff, because it's not a funny thing. You see? Yes, we stumble, we fall, but you know, there's also this thing that as we're walking, and as we're on this path, wouldn't you like to have somebody point out the things that could trip you up? That's what God does. Notice, he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He helps us in not slipping. He helps us to sustain. He helps us by pointing out along the path. He says, hey, watch that little rock there. You can slip on that. Watch that root in the ground. You can slip on that. See, God's a help to us as we're on this journey. He helps us in those sleep. He helps us as we sleep. Hey, check this out. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know, there is this thing as we're walking and all of that, but we also need rest along the journey, don't we? You may have come in today and physically, again, I'm going to go from physical to spiritual again, but you may come here today and say, man, I'm just slap worn out, exhausted. I'm just worn out. I'm tired physically. I get that way from time to time. You get that way from time to time. You know, there are times when we come and we sit down, and man, if we sit down more than 20 minutes and it's nice and it's quiet, we're out. Here's the difficulty, though, along this journey. As we get tired, along the journey and along the side of the road, that is typically not the place where we want to sleep, is it? I've driven at night before, and, you know, after a long day, you get in the car, you drive, and you get so tired, you know, your eyes start getting heavy, and you're like, oh, man, I got to sleep. And I've done it. I've slept in parking lots. I've slept on the side of the road. I remember one time I was traveling. I was by myself. I was so tired. There was not an exit. I didn't know where the next exit was. And I thought, man, I've got to sleep. And so I pulled over on the highway, on the shoulder, and I just sat there. And I leaned the car seat back, and I'm just laying there, and I'm hearing the trucks go by. And on the shoulder of the road, I could not just hear the trucks as they went by, but I felt the trucks as they went by. Now, I am not typically a worrier or a nervous type person. I leave that up to my mother and my wife to do that. But as I was laying there trying to sleep, and I heard truck after truck, and I felt them, I just couldn't help but thinking, I'm going to get taken out. This is not the safest place for me to be. Even though I was trying to sleep, I couldn't sleep, and I stayed there for maybe 15, 20 minutes, long enough to just gather some thoughts in my head with my eyes closed. And so I opened my eyes back up, and I drove to the next exit and stopped at a gas station that had some lights on it. And I left the car running, and I leaned the seat back, and then I sat there thinking, somebody's going to see me here and break in. Sometimes we just have no hope, don't we? Somebody's going to break in. They're going to take me. They're going to take my car. Well, they'll kill me, take the car, and then wonder, why did I take that car? You know, one of those types of things. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my goodness, and still no rest. Eventually made it to where I was going. I don't even remember where I was going, but I remember those parts. But the scope of our help is this. God says, when you're tired, when you're weary, sleep. Can I just tell you, there are some things that we just don't have to worry about? Amen. Why? Because God is our help. He says, you sleep because I'm not going to. Amen. Aren't you glad that we have a God who doesn't go to sleep? Amen. There is nothing that catches God off guard. Nothing. Look, I'm just going to tell you, if I'm parked on the side of the road or at a gas station trying to sleep and somebody comes up and does this number, click, 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 I'm going to be startled and caught off guard. Because I'm not expecting that. While I'm expecting that, I don't want it to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but it could happen. But you know who's not caught off guard? God. Why? Because he doesn't sleep, because he doesn't slumber, and he promises us that. God sees it all. He says, he shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. You see, not only does he protect us from the elements, so to speak, those things around us, as the Bible says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He says, as you travel, you're going to be fine. But he also protects us from the enemy. Typically, when folks would travel, and they would have a caravan, they were always ready, or thought they were ready, in case something happened. Now, today in our culture, we typically will carry a firearm of some sort as protection. They didn't have firearms in these days, and so typically they would carry a shield and a sword is what they would carry, and that was their protection. Some would have a slingshot or something along those lines. But notice here, as he is protecting with the elements, but also from the enemy. Notice, in depending on whether you are right-handed or right-handed, your side, left-handed, your side, but my left, your my right. If I'm right-handed, I would typically, if I'm going to fight, all with my right hand, and I would have a shield in my left hand. Now, a shield, while it is a defense, it not just is a defense against the enemy, but it's also a defense against the elements, if you will. Okay? The right hand fully exposed. But God here reminds us that he is protecting from both sides. Notice, as the Bible says in verse number 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. That right hand that's open, it's exposed, it's all of those things. And he protects in those manners. So he gives us the help, the scope of the help. But look at the strength. From time to time, we will ask for help. And we'll get somebody. And from time to time, we'll have somebody that comes in and they'll say, well, I don't know how much help I'll be. Anybody had that before? You are that kind of help. I don't know how much help I'll be. You're that kind of help, Alec? Appreciate your honesty. You know, I don't know how much help I'll be, but I'll try. God is not that kind of help. Amen. There is a strength to God's help. Notice, as he says in verse number 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You see the journey? The going out and the coming in. He's not just with you on part of the journey. He's with you on the whole journey. He preserves us from evil. And that is to say, that idea of preservation or being preserved is to be saved from injury, to be saved from destruction or decay, to keep or defend from evil. He says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. It's not just the outward man that God is helping. It is the inward man. It is thy soul that God preserves for eternity. For eternity. He says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The man you're picturing on the ice, he's scooting. Scoots a little bit more. Scoots a little bit more. On his hands and knees, scooting across the lake. There's a rumble. As he turns around, he sees. Begins to make him sweat in the frigid cold air. Some of you may be thinking the lake is coming down. It wasn't the lake coming down. It was six horses pulling a wagon or a sleigh behind them, barreling through across that lake. In his mind, he thinks, oh, this lake's coming down for sure. As those horses and the people in the carriage fly right on by him, in a matter of minutes, as they cross the lake, what took him hours on his own, frozen, cold, all of that. You see, we have a help. But yet oftentimes it is our own pride that says, I've got this. It is our own pride that refuses to ask for the help. It is our own pride that says, I don't need the help. Don't want the help. Only to see somebody else that comes by with help. And we wonder why. Sometimes we wonder as we take another step, who's going to get me out of this? I wonder if I'm going to make it. Hope this isn't the next step that's going to take me down. We don't have to live that way. Amen. We have a help from God that is there, that is ready to take us across without losing our footing, without freezing to death. And God just says, trust me. By faith, trust me. Says, I've got the path. I have the best laid out journey that's available for you. The question is very simple. Who will help me? Well, God will help me. But another question that must be asked this morning is, will you let Him help you? Will you let Him set you on the journey and guide you and give you a path to follow? Will you follow it? That's the question. God's a very present help in time of trouble and time of need. He strengthened us. He helps us along every aspect of the way. Will you trust Him? With every head bowed and every eye closed, my help cometh from the Lord. I like what the psalmist said there in verse number 2 as he described and as he said, my help cometh from the Lord, lest you forget who the Lord is. He's the one that made heaven